This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alrighty, let's get started. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So today is Sunday, July 18th, 2021. It is also the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. In fact, at Maghrib, it's going to be the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. So tomorrow is the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And the day after tomorrow will be the day of Eid, inshaAllah ta'ala, Eid al-Adha, for the year, what are we, 1442, right? So, alhamdulillah, you know, tomorrow's a day of rahmah and mercy. Tomorrow's a day where dua is accepted. Tomorrow's a day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the previous year and the year to come. So it is encouraged, of course, through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to fast tomorrow. Some people were asking me in messaging, should we fast on the 9th and the 10th? You know, or the 8th and the 9th, right? Like for Ashura, but no, the answer to that is no. We fast on the day of Arafah, and we don't need to follow it up with 2 days of fasting. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Arafah, on the day of Eid al-Adha, after the Eid prayer, he would then sacrifice the animal and then have some of the meat of the animal that he sacrificed, the lamb, cooked, prepared, and would eat from it, right? So that's one of the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do. So for us here, what we need to focus on, inshallah, and just give me a second, I'm just going to adjust this camera a little bit, if you don't mind. It's just a little off. There we go. Alhamdulillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, of course, it's encouraged to fast tomorrow, and so we encourage ourselves to do that. Now, today we are continuing. I know that usually we will learn about the fiqh of certain things that are relevant, but we went over that on Friday night. So Friday night, those of you who missed out on the Friday lecture, you can go back to either my YouTube or Instagram or the Masjid's YouTube or Instagram or my Facebook as well, and you can watch the recording of what we taught on Friday night. And again, we were encouraging people to fast on the day of Arafah and also explained the Eid prayer. So for those that missed it, the fiqh of the Eid prayer and how to go about the day of Eid, especially looking at all this. Can't wait to trim this after the animal sacrificed, after the day of Eid, the Eid prayer, right? Trimming the nails, men can't stand it. Don't know how women do it, you know, the long nails. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, guide us all. But long nails, not something that's easy to do. And all this fuzz and Amazon rainforest is growing under my nose. Just needs to come off, alhamdulillah. So all of that we described and explained on Friday night. So if you missed it and you're curious as to how to go about the day of Eid, the day of Arafah, what to do, how to spend the day, how to pray the Eid prayer, what to do in the morning, preparing on the way, going to the prayer and coming back from the prayer and so on, then go and watch Friday night's lecture, inshallah. As a simple reminder before we get into our topic, a dua that we should say regularly on the day of Arafah, as the Prophet ﷺ used to say, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. You could add to it, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. You know, that's a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would say on the day of Arafah, okay? Khair. So we took oaths last week, okay? We started the chapter on oaths and vows, and we looked at the first two of three oaths that are out there, okay? The first one is the unintentional oath, and then the second one we looked at was the false oath. And today we're going to be looking at the enacted oath, right? What is the enacted oath? Well, it's not a false oath, right? And it is not the unintentional oath. The unintentional oath, as we said last week, was, you know, when you go to Saudi Arabia, you go for Hajj or Umrah, or you go to, you know, a dinner with a bunch of Arab friends, they are, you know, constantly saying, Wallah, right? Wallah fa'alt kida, Wallah dhahabt kida, Wallah. Well, you know, everything's wallah, 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 but that's just general lingo for them, right? That's just the way they talk. So it's an unintentional oath, okay? They're not taking an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, swearing by Allah. It is just taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dhikr, as remembrance, okay? Today we're looking at the enacted oath and its rulings. What is an enacted oath? An enacted oath refers to that oath which was intended by the person who made it, and he or she is determined to fulfill it as a way of emphasizing that he or she is going to do or not going to do a specific act. So basically, it's an oath that a person says, I'm going to do so-and-so thing, or I'm not going to do so-and-so thing, and they take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a, you know, assurance or as emphasis that they are actually going to do that thing or not going to do that thing. For example, wallahi, a person says, wallahi, I'm going to drink out of this cup, and they drink out of it. And a person says, wallahi, I will never use this cup again, right? You know, that's an oath that's taken. Now we're going to look at whether that's permissible or not. Okay, we're going to look at whether that is permissible or not in a minute or two, inshallah, or in a few minutes. So if the person fulfills their oath, there is nothing further upon them. So if a person says, wallahi, I'm going to attend tonight's class, and they come and they attend tonight's class, khalas, it's done. There's nothing upon them, okay? However, if he or she breaks his oath, he must expiate it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said with respect to oaths in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 225. وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُكُمْ بِمَا عَقَدْتُمُ الْأَيْمَانِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He, as in Allah, will call you to account for that which your hearts have earned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, He will punish you for your deliberate oaths. Okay? So a person who takes an oath must follow through with it, or there's an expiation that we'll look at later on, inshallah ta'ala. Oaths are determined by their intentions. Okay, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, verily all actions are based on intention. So every single action is based on the intentions. Now, if a person intends to take an oath, then they've taken an oath. If they're not intending an oath, then they're not intending an oath. Okay? We'll take an example of that. If someone swears by something, but inside he is concealing something different, then the determining factor is his intention and not his wording. Okay. Suwayd ibn Hanzala said, we went out intending to go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With us was Wa'il ibn Hujr. Along the way, an enemy of his grabbed him. The people found it very difficult to make an oath, stating that he was with them. Therefore, I swore, okay, he says, I swore that he was my brother, and therefore he should be let go. When we came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I informed him that the people felt very uncomfortable about making this oath, but I swore that he was my brother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, you have told the truth. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. So what do we see here? We see something similar to the example of Ibrahim alayhi salam with who? With his wife. Which wife? With Sarah, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam with his wife. When she Ibrahim alayhi salam with his wife, when they are questioned as to their relationship, and it is mentioned that this is my sister. It's his sister in Islam. It's his wife, but it's his sister in Islam, in faith, right? So a similar example there that we see with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Thus, the intention of the one making the oath is taken into consideration. Okay, so the intention of the one who is taking the oath or making the oath is taken into consideration. Unless, except, okay, there's always an exception, or there's almost always an exception. Okay, unless he is asked to swear to something, as in take an oath regarding something specific. For example, a judge in a court of law, right? Ask someone, swear by Allah that you're telling the truth. And they swear by Allah that they're telling the truth. Or swear by Allah that you were in this place at that time on that day with that person. And they take an oath and swear by Allah that they were in, you know, at a certain place with a certain person at a specific time. Okay? So if they're being asked about something specific, if he is asked to swear to something specific, as we mentioned, then it is the intention of the one doing the requesting that is the overriding factor. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the oath is according to the intention of the one who requested it. So if the judge is requesting an oath from you, then it is according to that, not according to what you, as the one saying the oath, intends, as we saw in the previous example. So the difference here is the previous example, it was saying, I swear he is my brother. He's not your real blood brother, akh shaqiq, but he's your brother in Islam, right? Or your sister in Islam, in belief. Here, the difference is the judge is saying, take an oath and swear to this specifically. Okay, so now you have to act upon the request of the oath, right? You cannot lie. You cannot play with words, right? This play on words. You can't do that in this case. The oath is according to the intention of the one who requested it, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. He also narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, your oath is on what your companion is telling you to affirm. So if a judge, for example, a Muslim judge is asking you, do you swear by Allah that you were in this place at that time with this person? Yes, I swear by Allah that I was in this place at that time with this person. You don't have a choice there, okay? Okay, we move on. Forgetting or doing something by mistake does not break one's oath. Forgetting to fulfill the oath or doing something by mistake that goes against the oath that was taken does not break the oath. If a person makes an oath not to do something and then out of forgetfulness or mistakenly he does that act, then in this case, he has not broken his oath. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 286, ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Our Lord, do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. If we make a mistake or we forget, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to punish us, right? So we use this as evidence to say that if a person took an oath and said, Wallahi, today I'm not going to use your mug, and later in the day they forget and they go and they take your mug and they drink out of it. Oh, I forgot that I wasn't supposed to. That I took an oath that I said I wasn't going to do that. Khalas. It's not upon you. You did not break the oath. You forgot. Allah made you forget. Right? Allah made you to forget. Okay. Making an exception while stating the oath. If, for example, someone makes an oath and says, if Allah wills, inshallah, he has made an exception to the oath. As such, there is no such thing as breaking this kind of oath. If someone says, wallahi, I am not going to use your mug for the rest of the day, inshallah, then that is basically an oath with an open door, right? It's an oath that isn't really an oath. It's intending something while stating that if something else happens, I'm not held responsible. I know it sounds weird, but when we say inshallah, then it's saying that I leave it up to Allah. And if Allah chooses for me to do something differently, then how can you hold me account to it? Right? And so we see in an example of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever makes an oath and says, if Allah wills, inshaAllah, then he may fulfill the oath if he wishes or discard it without violating the oath. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is graded as sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani, and found in the sahih of Sunan ibn Majah, and also in Abu Dawood, and recorded by An-Nasa'i. Okay? So saying insha'Allah to an oath is basically opening the door to not fulfilling that oath. And if that oath is not fulfilled, then there's no expiation upon it. Now, whoever swears to do something and then finds a better thing to do. Okay, you take an oath that you're going to do something, but you realize there's something better that you should do instead of that. Example, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu an, where he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a person swears an oath and then finds that something is better than what he swore to, then he should do that better thing and expiate for his oath. So for example, someone says to their wife, husband says to his wife, wallahi, I'm not going to talk to you for the rest of the day. And his wife shows kindness to him. And through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala softens his heart. And he feels like he wants to be kind to her and speak to her. But he said, wallahi, I won't speak to you for the rest of the day. Isn't it better for you to resolve the difference between the two of you and to start to speak to her? She's showing some sort of compassion, showing some sort of, you know, mercy, some sort of discussion between the two of you should take place to resolve the issue that's happened between the two of you. Shouldn't you do that? Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions if a person swears an oath and then finds that something is better than what he swore to, then he should do that better thing and expiate for his oath. So you break your oath, and you do that which is better, because it's better for you. Just because, so sometimes people say, you'll find at times a father will say, Wallahi, I will never let you marry this person. Or, even better, a father will say to his daughter, Wallahi, I will never let you get married until you turn 30 years old. Or even better, Wallahi, I will never let you get married until you finish your PhD. And his daughter says, 2 years later, when she's applying for her master's, Baba, if you don't get me married, I'm going to find a boyfriend. I'm going to start dating. Or I'll find someone myself, and I'll just get married. I will appoint a new wakil, and I will get married without your permission. Someone else will grant me that permission. Okay. Father says, no, too bad. Wallahi, I will never let you get married until you finish your PhD. And then along comes this awesome guy who fits the perfect description of who he wants to find for his daughter, and fits the perfect description of what she wants in a husband, and she wants to marry this person. And he's like, no, Wallahi, I'm never going to let you get married until you finish your PhD. This is an example of how it's better for him to break his oath and to allow that which is better to happen and to take place than for him to hold on to that oath. And of course, you know, this is an example of oppression. This is a form of oppression for someone to do this to their daughter or to their son. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for every single one of us to follow through with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do what is right. You know, so many parents, and I don't want to get into a marriage discussion right now, but so many parents do dhulm to their children by forcing them to stay in a state that is pleasing to the parents, pleasing to the family, but not pleasing to the person, and regretting it years later. Or, you know, a number of things happen. I don't want to get into it, subhanAllah. So many things. I can talk about this topic all day and night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, make it easy for all of our young adults. Actually, make it easy for all our Muslim brothers and sisters, whether young or younger, okay? Whether young or younger. What I mean by that is young or younger, right? In a respectful way. May Allah make it easy for everyone who's looking to get married to fulfill their marriage in a halal way, and to find and to be blessed and happy with the person that they are happy with and pleased with, and a person that helps to fulfill their deen for them and with them. I know, Danish, you're absolutely right. The way the Muslims use inshallah these days do not mean what they want to say. Yes, subhanAllah, a brother called me yesterday, and it was as I'm leaving to go lead Jumu'ah, like I'm pressed on time. And he's like, Akhi, can you check? And I completely forgot till now. I didn't even respond to the messages. He might even be watching now. Forgive me if you're watching. And he's like, you know, can you check the messages and respond to it? I'm like, look, right now I'm heading to Jumu'ah and I'm super busy. Actually, it wasn't even yesterday. Today's Sunday. SubhanAllah, look at where my mind is, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday is just back-to-back busy. And I was like, inshallah, I'll check it later. You know, I haven't even checked the messages yet. I'll respond to it when I check the messages. And he's like, a real inshallah, you know, not a fake inshallah. I'm like, no, inshallah, I will. But I'm not the person that says the fake inshallah and then doesn't do it. I say the inshallah and try to do it. If I say I'm going to do something, I try my best to do it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't make it easy for me to do, it's the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I still didn't even check the message that I just remembered now. And I've been back to back all day. And subhanAllah, technically, my weekend starts soon. Allah knows best. All right. Prohibition to insist on one's oath. Okay. prohibition to insist on one's oath. Allah we'll look at a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, it is more sinful in Allah's sight for one of you to persist in an oath regarding his family than giving the expiation which Allah has obligated." I'll say this again, and it ties into what we were just talking about. Prohibition to insist on one's oath. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By Allah, it is more sinful in Allah's sight for one of you to persist in an oath regarding his family than giving the expiation which Allah has obligated." And look at the explanation of this hadith. The word in the hadith implies continuing an act even after its error has been made clear. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah stated that the meaning of this hadith is that a person makes an oath whose continual pursuance is harmful to his family, and thus he should break his oath and expiate for it. Instead, the person insists that he will not break the oath out of fear that he will be committing a sin. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us, if there is something that we've taken an oath to and we are persistent upon it and it is related to our family and there's something better that we should be doing, but it includes or requires us to break our oath, then break the oath and have the expiation of the sins done and move on. Right? So what is the expiation? Well, the expiation for an oath that is violated or a broken oath in Islam, three things that we look at first. Okay, three things that we look at first. First of all, feeding 10 poor people an average meal that you would feed your own family. So an average meal that you would eat yourself, or you would feed to your wife or to your husband or to your children or your parents, right? A meal that you would feed to your own family. That is the first thing. Feeding 10 people a meal. So 10 meals, one meal for each person, 10 people. Second thing that we can do as expiation for an oath that was taken and broken: clothing 10 poor people. Clothing, right? Blessing them with clothes, buying them clothing, or giving them clothing. 10 people. 10 people, right? For saying wallahi and breaking the oath, or tallahi and breaking the oath, or billahi and taking the oath, or I swear by Allah and breaking the oath, right? Taking an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and breaking it, first of all, like we said, feeding 10 people, each with a meal that is equivalent to the meal that we would feed our family members or our own selves, for example. Second thing that we can do as expiation: clothing 10 poor people. Third thing: freeing a slave. Which one are we doing? Which one have we done? How many times have we broken an oath and not fulfilled that oath, or not fulfilled the expiation for the oath, I should say? Now, people say, but I thought we'd just have to fast for 3 days. Well, wait a second. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Verse number 89 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهم أو تحرير رقبة ذلك أو تحرير رقبة فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا حلفتم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will not punish you for what is unintentional in your oaths, but He will punish you for your deliberate oaths. It's expiation for its expiation of deliberate oath, right? Feed 10 poor people on an average that you would feed your own family. Okay, an average meal that you would feed your own family. أو كسوتهم, right? Or clothe them. أو تحرير رقبة. Or free a slave. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَصْيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, actually I'll say what he says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but whosoever cannot afford to do the first three things, one of those three. He says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ, whoever cannot afford to do those first three things, فَصِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ, then he should fast for 3 days, and these are three consecutive days. Okay? ذَلِكَ كَفَّارَةُ أَيْمَانِكُمْ إِذَا حَلَفْتُمْ, that is the expiation for the oaths when you have sworn. So, those of us who say, oh, I said wallahi and I broke it, I need to fast for 3 days. Well, wait a second. You first need to feed 10 poor people. Not 10 people who have food. Don't invite your friends over to your house and feed them and say, alhamdulillah, I invited 10 people over and they ate. I'm done. No, you need to feed 10 poor people. Not your friends who have lots of food in their fridge. Okay? Don't invite, you know, the imam over and his family, or don't invite, your siblings and your family and your parents and feed them. No. If they have food, then they're not poor. You need to feed 10 poor people, each a meal that is equivalent or more to the meal that you would feed yourself or your family. If you can't afford that, then clothe them. Take from your clothes, right? 10 suits, 10 thobes, 10 abaya, 10 something. Give to each one to 10 people. Right? If you can't afford that, then free a slave. Of course, this is probably the one we can all say that we're not able to find to do, right? So then, if you can't afford to do any of those three, then fast 3 consecutive days. So don't resort to fasting 3 days consecutively first. That's what we do when we can't afford. We have to actually do more. It's hard, it's painful to find 10 poor people sometimes and feed them a meal. What I mean by painful is, for some people, that's a lot of wealth. It's not easy. It's not easy to feed 10 people. Sometimes some families, they say, you know what, once a month we'll go out and eat. Now you have to feed 10 people. Where do you get the money for that? Right? Let me just finish up, and then if there's any questions, I'll answer that, inshallah. Last page. Swearing to forbid something. Okay? Swearing to forbid something. If someone says, my food is forbidden for me. Right? This food is haram for me. Angry with their spouse. For example, the husband cooks dinner, which is like usually never the case, right? The husband cooks dinner. The wife is angry. I don't know why the wife would be angry if the husband cooked dinner. Anyways, the husband cooked dinner. The wife is angry with him for something that happened in the day. So he cooks dinner. And she says, wallahi, will not eat this food. This food is forbidden for me. This food is haram for me. Or someone says, It's haram for me to go and visit my mother. It's haram for me to go and visit my father. I forbid myself from going to visit them because of whatever differences. Saying something like that, these are examples that I'm giving, right? Saying something like that, then those acts do not become forbidden for that person. But if the if he or she does say these statements, then they must expiate from their oath. Why? Because they made something haram for them that Allah made halal for them, and we are not allowed to do that as Muslims. A Muslim says, I forbid myself from eating, or wallahi, I will never eat meat or chicken again. I am now a vegetarian. You can refrain from eating the meat and chicken, but don't say it's haram for you. And don't say, wallahi, it's haram for you, right? Can't do that. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Tahrim, verse number 1 and 2. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak tabtaghi mardata azwajik wallahu ghafurur rahim. Qad faradallahu lakum tahillata aymanikum. O Prophet, why do you ban or forbid for yourself that which Allah has made lawful for you? Seeking to please your wives, as in seeking to please others. And Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah has already ordained for you, men, the dissolution of your oaths, right? Human beings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already mentioned to you what you need to do. Aisha radiallahu anha said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have honey when he stayed in the house of Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. Hafsa and I, she says, Aisha radiallahu anha says, Hafsa and I radiallahu anhuma, therefore secretly agreed that when he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comes to either of us, we should say, have you eaten maghafir? What is maghafir? It has that nasty or not pleasant scent, right? Have you eaten this? I can smell maghafir in your breath. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came and, you know, this happened, no, but I had honey with Zainab bint Jahsh. I will not have it again. I have taken an oath to that and do not inform anyone about this, right? So the Prophet ﷺ took an oath that he would not have that honey again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow even the Prophet ﷺ take an oath forbidding something upon himself that Allah has made halal for him. So if the Prophet ﷺ can't do that, we can't do that as well. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said concerning expiation of an oath in which one has forbidden himself something permissible, that it is to be expiated. If a person does this, then they have to follow through with the expiation. And he then stated the verse, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, you have an excellent example to follow. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is all the time that we have for today. I will look at some of the... saw a question there. I'll just scroll up and check it very quickly because it's almost time for Maghrib. At work, we can't say inshallah. What recommended wording can we use when we commit to work and can't deliver on time? First of all, try not to commit to something that you know you cannot deliver on time. Right? Let them know. Hint to them. Right? That I will try. Second of all, why are we taking an oath? Again, like I said at the beginning of this chapter, we as Muslims, our word is the truth. If I say I'm going to do something, I should follow through with doing it to the best of my ability. We as Muslims should not have to say, wallahi, I'm going to go to sleep tonight. No, it's normal, natural. That's something that you do. You're going to go to sleep at night, right? Or, wallahi, I'll get my work done. We as Muslims, if we say, I'll do it, inshallah, I will do it. If I can't do it or can't deliver on time, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, intention is important. So in your heart, what's in your heart is what, you know, what is taken as your word. Okay. Inshallah, Sister Sadaf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you and your husband and grant him his visa. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the families in any hardship and difficulty that they're going through. What happens when a person takes an oath before dying that affects all of the family? Well, if they took an oath and they didn't follow through with it, then it's between that person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I don't know exactly what you're mentioning. If you want to ask me specifically, you can do that. But generally speaking, you know, if a person takes an oath, then it's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? May Allah make it easy for every single one of us. Ameen. I'm going to head over to the masjid, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this knowledge beneficial for every single one of us and bless us with goodness and khair and barakah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all safe and upon iman and Islam and having full taqwa and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the one that will help us in anything that we go through in life. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan wa barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.